Well, we're still in our teaching area about teaching about when will Jesus Christ return. And, of course, we're not trying to do any predictions. And we know this, the people that have been predicting just keep missing it. So you would think somebody would catch on sooner or later. So he didn't come during the eclipse. And Wanda and I were sitting out in the lawn chairs waiting for him, and he didn't show up. I really thought it was going to happen. Oh, my. Praise God. Well, we're going over looking at this. Last week, things we looked at in here, we went over concerning the prophecy of Kenneth Hagin, but we also we looked at his 1963 vision and read a prophecy that Mark Barclay had done years ago. Those things have really proved out over time of really dealing with the areas about accuracy of things and things that are going on. And one of the things I'm going to talk about some things because we need to understand this. One of the things that has really hurt the church is the church. You know, God operates through gifts of the Spirit, and you know, He puts gifts in the church, and whether it's prophets or whomever, there's God. The gifts of the Spirit operate: word of wisdom, words of knowledge. There's prophecy, and not things, tongues, interpretation. Those things go on, but you need to understand this. Not everybody that operates in these things operates them in the Spirit. People get in the flesh and do things. It doesn't matter who prophesies what or who says what. You have to know that that's what the Spirit said. You do. And you can't walk any more than the revelation you have. This is, well, it's just like with people and they're going along and they, you know, predict and Jesus Christ is coming back. And those people do that and it doesn't turn out. They always have lots of followers because people don't find out for themselves. They have a favorite preacher or preachers they like, and they may be good people, but they can miss it. And I don't look at, when I deal with the areas of prophecies, these are things that I have taken over the years and have prayed over. I want to know what something speaking, is it in line? Is it in line with what the Bible says? Is it in line with what God has been showing me as a person? What has God been showing me? Mm-hmm. There's one thing as I learned. I can be as accurate or more accurate than a lot of big-name people. There's a lot of big-name people who have been terrible concerning prophecies and concerning things they have said. Yet, they get so many followers and so many people buy their books and all their stuff, and they just go on and on and on. But people don't check it out. We just, well, I don't know. I just think it's a bit of laziness on people's part. You know, it's just easier to listen to what somebody else says rather than have to take the time to figure it out, find out with God yourself. Takes more time. But one of the things that I use these prophecies beforehand because I'm going to look at things that over the years that the Lord showed me. I can only walk in the revelation I have. I can't walk in the revelation somebody else has. And you have to know that for yourself about revelation. It's number one, things will prove out over time. And this is one thing is when we hear prophecies and, you know, it's just like, you know, people, you know, Jesus was going to come back here during the eclipse and all that kind of stuff and things. That people throw that stuff right out there and, you know, you're going to find out in a few minutes whether that's right or not. But you find out. Most of the time, prophecy speaks to many years in advance. A lot longer than people anticipate. Many times when people talk about things according to the future, as Kenneth Hagin talked about it, and I've seen it, it's just, you know, some of the prophets in the Bible spoke to 60 years ahead. When you look at the prophets, the people walked and lived and never saw many of that stuff ever come to pass. Many lived and died and never saw it come to pass, but the prophets spoke ahead, and you need to understand that. God, many times, this is where the mercy of God concerning people is way off in the distance, and it's things that, here's where we need to be very careful. If you don't learn to listen to the Spirit of God, you can take prophecies and you'll misinterpret them. Sometimes the people who give the prophecy misinterpret. They try to interpret the prophecy. Many times prophecies will not be able to be fully interpreted till they come down to about the time that they're going to come to pass, that you really start to see things clear. And this is one of the things I want to look at because when I first came into the kingdom, God began to speak to me. You know, this was to me, I got born again January 1980. And, when I got born again, and a couple months later, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was in my bedroom and I just, listening to Kenneth Hagin tape about getting filled with the Holy Ghost, I said, well, I can do that. I don't have to go have somebody lay hands on me. I can get filled with the Spirit. You know, so I did. I got full with the Holy Ghost. And when I did, stuff started happening and operating through me. And, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of times people think people in the ministry, you got to be in the ministry and this and that. Well, this is one thing as I learned, that isn't how it works. One of the things, see, I was taught, listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, I had the anticipation that if I got filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost would manifest through me. Mm-hmm. Most people are taught, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you talk with tongues. That's it. You know, you can talk with tongues, that's when it. Well, I was going to talk with tongues, but that wasn't the main thing. Is the Holy Ghost was going to manifest through me. I expected supernatural. You aren't going to have anything in your operate through you that you don't expect to happen. I mean, because you won't follow it if you didn't expect it to happen. If something starts to happen, you'll question because you don't expect that. That's not it. This is one of the things of in the areas of teaching. You know, people get over in the areas of teaching about the gifts of the Spirit and they operate. Well, they operate as the Spirit will, severally as it will, dividing to each one. Everybody gets a one gift. That is not what it teaches or said. It said it operates as the Spirit wills, whomever He operates through, severally as He wills. I've had every manifestation of every gift operate through me. Because I never thought you just have one. That isn't what it is, because nobody has them. They are the Holy Ghost operates them as it's needed, that He figures out, not me. Nobody has gifts of the Spirit. Not a one of you. I don't have any gift. We may have I've had certain ones operate through me more than others do. You know, it's just like in the church world, tongues and interpretation, things like that, and just general prophecy should be the norm. I mean, when Paul's teaching, in the church at Corinth, he taught them that, you know, prophesy, everybody ought to be prophesying. Well, today, that's a nun in the church. I mean, maybe you have two people out of 1,000, but everybody's supposed to be able to operate. Why? Because we're not, have no expectation of it taking place. No expectation of that. When I started off, the manifestations of the Spirit started with me personally, not in a church, not in my life. You will find, majority of times, gift of the Spirit goes in operation are not in the church. Most of the times, gifts have ever operated through me, it has been outside the church. If you look in the book of Acts, most of the time you see gifts of the Spirit in operation. They're out in the public, or somebody's praying privately, or something happens. It wasn't down in the synagogue. It wasn't up at the temple. Do you ever think about that?
Yep.
And reading them. Well, then, we should be in the same way. Most of the times, the gifts of the Spirit. I learned about prophecy, prophesying in my bedroom. I'd be praying and stuff. The Spirit of prophecy come on in, and I'd start speaking out. I would start speaking out. I'd speak out revelations concerning things in the Scripture. And I'd think, my God, I never saw that one before. But you start doing that. It's the Spirit of prophecy. I many times have spoken in tongues and interpreted what I spoke. And it's not in church. That's not where I never learned how to operate gifts in the church. I learned how to operate gifts privately. And that's the way that they many times manifest. And see, we need to get over there in our expectations. I taught for a number of years in a Bible school on the subject of gifts of the Spirit. It was one of the hardest subjects I had to teach because you have to unteach everybody. And you can't, in a semester, they'd have you teach us every day. You can't get that out of people, what's been put in them now for the past 20 years. And trying to get out of them their teaching, the way they think about gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's hard to get it out of people. Because they have their beliefs. And you're coming around and you're plowing their field crossways and they don't like that. You know, we have our beliefs. Yeah, but the Bible says, I know it says it, but we do it like this. We believe it like this. And so, and it is, it's very hard. One of the things is dealing with this, because gifts of the Spirit started manifesting through me. I got born again in 1980. In 1980, that spring, God told me to go out and start walking around the city of Lebanon and praying. And, you know, I didn't have people tell me about that or doing that kind of thing. I'd pray in my own room and the Spirit of the Lord began to talk to me and said, you know, go out around the city and pray. So I started doing that. I just started walking around the streets and One day he told me to walk up around to where Sunset Hill was, is up on the side of Lebanon there, which they call it Sunset. It used to be called Sunset Market up there. It was at one time. But he told me to go up there. He walked up around that area to pray. And I walked out there overlooking the city. And I walked up in Sunset Hill. And I'm just standing up there, just sort of minding my own business, just sort of praying about the city, walking back and forth across there, the parking, big parking lot and stuff down below in the back where it was just a stone parking lot area. And I'm walking back and forth. And all of a sudden I stopped and I began to prophet. The Spirit's prophecy come on to me. And that back in 1980, because Bethlehem Steel had closed and Lebanon was pretty well hurting for jobs. In fact, at that time, Lebanon was had one of the highest, about the highest unemployment rate. The county had about the highest unemployment rate in Pennsylvania at that time. So it was really serious. And it shut down because it was one business, more or less, ran everything, and the city was totally unprepared, and they didn't do anything about businesses and helping other businesses get started or anything like that was going on. But I stood up there to heal, and the spirit of prophecy came on me, and I began to prophesy over the city of Lebanon. Now, I thought at the time, I don't know if you said, like, there is different levels of the spirit. There's a spirit of prophecy that operates under general prophecy that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about, was edification, exhortation, or comfort. It is not, there's a different level of that, of prophecy, which prophesying to the future and things like that, that's a different, there's times that the spirit of prophecy, or I'll speak to edification, exhortation, or comfort, but when that spirit of prophecy comes on, there's a difference in a huge difference in the anointing. And I'm standing here and it comes on. And see, this is the first time I've had that happen to me and it come on me. And it is strange. I had remembered listening to Kenneth Hagin talk about that, because he said it seems as if somebody else is talking because you're listening to it. And I always thought, that's strange. I wonder what that's like. Well, I found out what that's like. It's almost like you're listening to yourself talk. That anointing comes on you. It's coming out of your voice, but it's coming from your spirit. It's not coming from your mind. It's coming out of your spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit is. It's an operation of the Holy Spirit. And it's coming up out of you and the inside. And your mind is not connected to it. This is why people don't operate gifts of the Spirit. Because we're too mental. We don't know how to yield over to our spirit. They don't operate through your mind. It has nothing to do with the way you think. Because I'm prophesying and I'm listening to myself prophesying. And I'm saying, why am I saying this? I don't know nothing about this. Your mind's going in another direction. I'm listening to this coming out of my spirit. So you got to get to the place in your Christian walk where you can differentiate it between your inner man and your mind. If you can't, you're going to have difficulty always as a Christian walking in the spirit. You got to learn the difference between the two. And so in my spirit, I'm saying these things, and I found it interesting because one of the things that I said that came out of me by the Holy Spirit was many of the towns around and places and other places they looked at, and this is what it came out. It said that looks at Lebanon as if it's an armpit. So it wasn't a very popular, it was a place where it wasn't. But God began to speak and said, told me what was going to happen. He said that businesses and stuff were going to come to Lebanon. He said even major companies, and he said even CEOs of companies will move into the Lebanon area. They're going to come to Lebanon area. They're going to come into here. And he said people would come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And he talked about this back, that there would become, in the last days, this would come a place of great light. Now you're saying those things. Now I'm in 1980. Now during 1980, there's a move of God going on at that time. When I got born again, there was a lot of stuff happening and going on. I mean, people would wait in lines to get into meetings and stuff. The church people would wait 2 hours to get into meetings and that stuff today. And, sure don't have that today. You don't have to wait for, you can show up. Show up at a meeting, at any time you want to, you get it. But people, there was a move of God. And those things were going on at that time. And so, you understand this. When prophecy is giving, you need to be careful because you can interpret and try to examine it in the light of where you're at the time you're in. And you don't want to do that. It's like Kenneth Hagin, I learned this as a young Christian, when he said, if God gives a word, don't make a sentence. And this is where people really, really do mess up, is they try to interpret what is not, God is not interpreting. In other words, God's saying something, but what he's saying, he may not at all be telling you exactly what it means. If I would have interpreted this prophecy by what was going on at the time, because Lebanon becoming a place of great lightness, there was a move of God going on at that time. So if you want to place it in the time you're in, but it wasn't talking to that time. See, I look today, that prophecy that I stood in 1980 over that hill, there's some parts of that came true. I mean, right now, Lebanon has about the least, Lebanon County has the least unemployment of any of the counties in Pennsylvania. So God fulfilled that. That part got fulfilled. That part became a fulfilled thing. But the things of the light and people coming, I look back because of other things over time. He began to speak through me that he said, visions I had, stuff that went on. But anyhow, we need to be careful. But God said those things, the things that were going to be happening, he talked about this area being a place of great light. But over the years, I mean, he slowly started to show me things and tell me things about stuff. I can tell you this. I never asked him about anything in the future. I never did. I don't seek God concerning the future, who's going to be president or who's going to be that. The Lord shows me stuff. But as one thing is, you need to be careful because the Holy Spirit's not the only spirit in operation. You got to be careful what you push in on, because as the scriptures tell us, there's many voices and none without significance. You push into things. You can push into things that God's not speaking to you about, and you keep pushing. I guarantee you, you're going to hear a spirit. You're going to hear one. God's not saying that. There's things I tell God. If you want to talk to me and tell me about it, hey, I'm open to it. But we ain't. You know, I'm not going to push and push on these things. These people that are always predicting all this stuff and it don't turn out, I just get so fed up with them over presidencies and all this kind of stuff. I'm so tired of this junk because it makes it harder. People who follow it makes them harder and harder to stay hooked up to the Holy Spirit. It just makes it more difficult. And so anyhow, and during this time, because this was over a couple year period where God would have me walk around the city of Lebanon and pray. You know, I'm a young Christian and I'm out there doing that. I'm out here walking the city. One time I'm walking the city, and this was, maybe a year or so later, I was walking the city and I was walking down Walnut Street. I was praying and I had come back around. I had walked up through the areas and some areas and stuff. I felt led to walk in through and pray. Coming back down Walnut Street, and I'm going to be heading then eventually back home where we lived on Canal Street, and I'm going to eventually be heading back there, but I'm walking down Walnut Street and the Spirit of God speaks to me and he said there's a great revival coming to this valley. Great revival. And he said, but it's not going to come because of the people in the era and the time. He said, it's going to come because of people who prayed before. And they prayed and he said, the people will see this move of the Spirit. They're going to see it happen, but it's not because of what they've done. Now, it doesn't mean that other people won't get involved and do things, but we need to understand this. Many times, and people don't realize this, many times things and events and stuff that happen, people get over the idea and get big-headed and think, you know, they're the ones that God's doing this because of us. You know, we're these other generations weren't smart. You need to be very careful about this stuff. There's one thing about today, most of the church world is a bunch of morons and idiots who don't know God at all. And they sit around, some of these ministers, I listened to them talking, I thought, you big-headed things, you need to sit down and shut up and get into a little bit of humility here. They don't know as much as they think, and they know very little about God and the move of God. They know how the money game's played, and they know how all the popularity game's played. They know all that stuff. They know how to build big, and they know how to do all that stuff without God. They've learned how to do it. You don't have to know God. I mean, look around this world, the stuff that goes on. I mean, go over to Arab Emirates. I mean, they're over there, you know. They ain't Christian. Go to see how rich they live. They make you look like a bunch of peons. Well, is that God over there doing that? I'm sure there's a lot of these big-name ministers are like, boy, we got to find out what they're doing. You know? What are we going to do? Well, praise God. But anyhow, and so, you know, but the Lord spoke to me, you know, and from that time on, though, I have always thought about that, you know. We pray and we seek God and we move, but there's people before us. And this is one of the things is learning to humble yourself. Realize, you know, that there's people. You know, I can say this even from what I know over the years that I've lived. People years ago, even in the time and if I go back to when I was born again, even before that time as a kid, people were much more humble about things and stuff today. People were much more sincere. I'll tell you what, when I was a kid growing up, there was a lot of sinners that lived better lives than Christians do today. A lot of them lived better lives than Christians live. People say we're Christians, say, the sinners didn't live. They wouldn't do half the stuff people do today. But we need to understand. So, but as I went along, and see, these things are building. God's talking and telling me these things. And it is important for you and I to understand, especially as going along in these things, that, you know, don't get ourselves out in front like we're so smart and we know. I thought about this because I'm over time of listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching. Kenneth Hagin talked about, he said, this generation, and he talked about, this was back in the 90s. He was talking about the fact that he said, there's things that will not be, that this generation's coming up are not going to know or ever see things in the spirit. He said, there's things we've experienced. He said, back years ago that we experienced in the spirit and gifts and manifestations. He said that they know nothing about today. And he said, really the condition of the church. Now this is back in the 90s. He said, if things don't really change, he said, they'll never see the move that they could have of things. Even though God moves, I found this out over the years. No matter how God moves, many people miss it and don't enter into it. Even Christians don't. It's like Jesus said, many of my people were going to turn back. The gifts of the Spirit are going to operate, but many of my people are going to turn back. They'll follow false stuff. This is what they're going to do, His own people. So we need to understand this. If people don't grow spiritually, I don't care what happens. There's no guarantee. I will tell you, as I've learned enough about revivals, the sinners will enter in quicker than the saints will. I'm just telling you that. Hide and watch. You'll see that Ed's right. It is amazing when you sit back and look over time, the things that go on and happen. I saw it back in during the charismatic renewal and all that stuff was started and things and stuff was going on. It's how many times people were coming in the kingdom, getting on fire, even ones who didn't know a thing about it. They were Christians but never taught about it. They'd come in and get on it. But the people around were supposed to know about it. They drug their feet coming in. They didn't like it that God was reaching other people. All this people, oh yeah, we want a move of God. You wait till it happens and see how many of them don't like it because I'm not in the front of it. All of them are just arrogant. You know, this is about me. I don't care who God uses. Use somebody, dear Lord. If I have to sit and paint in heaven, shut up, Ed, and sit and paint in heaven. I'm just tired of this Christian. I want to be up front. This is America. I'm going to find it. You know, people got to know me. You know, I just feel like nobody cares about me. Oh, poor thing. Sit down and shut up. The world ain't about you. This is popular in churches. But people get, everybody wants to get to the forefront. That's not what this is about.
Right.
It's about God moving. It's Jesus in the forefront. And it's like, it's not about us. Amen. You know, people, you know, you gotta pat me in the back. People gotta think it's wonderful. It's, man, that's, and it's become popularity and that kind of stuff because a lot of the world's philosophies and that stuff have gotten in, and, you know, people, you know, going around and, you know, I remember back in the 80s and in the 90s, people were getting divorced and that stuff and to find out who they were. A Christian trying to find out who they were. You're a child of God, you moron, act like it. Amen. So find out who I am. You still hear that today. People, I'm trying to find out. I don't know who I am. Well, start with pulling down your pants, look between your legs, now you at least know what you are. First of all, you're either a male or a female. Okay, that's a good start, okay? Now, where do we go from here? These are really hard things to figure out. Who I am. See, number one, if you don't know who you are, it's a good sign you're an idiot. Starts right there. It's a jealousy. I grew up, I never, who am I? You know, you got to be partially demon possessed. There's, you've been listening to the wrong spirit. You get over there and want, who am I? I don't know who I'm really at. I know what every one of those persons, they want everybody to pay attention to them. This is a demonic spirit in operation through a person. That you're going to have to pet and pat for the rest of their lives. Or those poor people. Oh. And you don't have it. Nobody pays attention to me. Do you wonder why? They don't want to be depressed like you are. That's See, we got to get away from these things. See, there's a move of God. But working up through, this is why we don't have to understand and know anything. I found out it wasn't till many years later, in fact, decades later, till I started to really understand the things that God began to speak to me over the years back through here. I had, this happened about a year or so before I went to Rhema. And it was like things that, I mean, I didn't, it just happened to me. I didn't know. I was in a church service. It was before I went to Rhema. I was in a church service. You know, we're just it was a Sunday morning service, and and I had this vision. And this vision, I saw the city of Lebanon. In the city of Lebanon, I saw it. It was like almost like I had been standing in the, like, say, northwest, way high in the air, looking across the city of Lebanon, and you could see across it. And I saw this vision, and I looked, when I first looked and saw the streets, like, there was no car movements or anything like that, and the streets are just filled with people. They're just, all these people are standing there, and their hands are raised in the air, and it's like, in the vision, I knew. They're waiting for Jesus to come back. And that was within the vision. Jesus was returning for them, and they're all standing in the streets. And there's one thing as I began to look at is over time, there's, and I really realized this is beginning to see in Scripture, that the church would know when Jesus is coming back. They will know it. Not some, you're not going to have somebody come and predict this to you. The church is going to know. You know, there's one thing, and I found never in my Christian walk has things that have to do with me personally that God has not talked to me about. Any event, nothing. There's no kind of things that come along and that kind of stuff. If they have to do with me, you know, the Holy Spirit's in you. You need to learn to listen. He doesn't do that just for Ed. He does that for everybody. It says he shows you things to come. That's his job. He shows you what's going on. And there's one thing I know, when people start saying, oh, about things going to happen, this and that, if the Holy Spirit's not speaking to me about it, I know this, it ain't happening to me. It might happen to them, I don't know, maybe they'll get run over by the truck. But it's not, because if I was going to, he would let me know. He'll tell me. And we got to get over, that's why we have to learn to listen to the Spirit, because so you know things. This is, showing things to come is not a prophetic ministry. It is the Holy Spirit's working in a believer. We may have at times an individual says something or under prophecy, but most of the time, I didn't hear things by prophecy. It came to me for my knowledge and for my understanding. That's what it came for. And understand, that's he works like that. You know, I always tell about, you know, when the year 2000 was coming, all of them gone, and, you know, there was 4,000 prophecies a day coming from the prophecy club, and all these ones on television, and all these, they're doing all this, you know, Jesus is going to come back, and they're selling food? Prophecy club? If he's coming back, what on earth are you selling food for? There's no lunches here. You know, people should figure out these people. It's called M-O-N-E-Y. Let's exploit something. And that's what they did. They exploited this thing. And it's like with that I knew God wasn't speaking to me about that. And I thought, this heaven, And I told about it. People asked me about it. And I said, what I thought was going to happen. I said, nothing. Why? I said, God didn't talk to me. Like, well, who are you? What do you think? Well, when it was over, you know, they bought the food. You know, it's like people doing their stuff. It's like, you need to understand these kind of things. Just because somebody's prophesying, what's God saying to you? What is he saying to you? What are you hearing? Are you into the word or stuff? Or, you know, people are just into, let's see who's saying what. Or, you know, hey, the new year's coming up. Let's start listening to guys in prophecies. I never do that. I never do that. That's one of the worst things you can do with the coming up of the year, is going to find out who's saying what. You know, do you think ever, that's the only time God can tell you in advance he has to wait till New Year's to, you know, God runs everything by the years, you know. Hey, it's come a very profitable thing. It's a good thing to sell a book or sell something or you're, it's a, hey, it works because most of the church are gullible, don't listen to the Spirit. They just follow after people and what they say. We don't want to do that. That's why the things that I'm telling you, these are the things God dealt with me on. Number one is where I live. I don't know what God's going to do in the rest of the world, but I know what he's going to do where I live, because that's what he talked to me about. I don't know what's going to be. You know, it's concerning just even from a prophet stand, the prophet's ministry. We have too many prophets that are prophesying things nationally. They may stand in a prophet's office, but they're not a prophet to the nation. And they are false prophesying. That's why many of it happens. If you look in the Old Testament, prophets. Elisha was a prophet to the nations. There were many other prophets, but they were not prophets to the nations, to other nations. They were prophets. Some of the prophets, we only have them, they were just maybe a prophet to an area that they were in, speaking of those. If I would say anything, if I can speak, I can speak to the area that I'm in. I know God has talked to me about where I live over the years and what's going to happen at the end where I live. I don't know what's going to happen where everybody else lives in another state and another place. They need to seek God and find out. That's what they are. He never told me I have to know things about the whole world. Mostly, if anything that God ever spoke to me was about our area, there's things he told me about our nation, but it had to do because it was going to be an effect concerning our area. So say, what are you called to? Where do you belong? Too much the church. We have these so-called international ministries, and they turn around and giving you a view, and you have no view of your area at all, what God is doing. It's all about their vision to what all they want to do. God's given me a vision here of what he's going to do here.
Amen.
So that's the revelation he gave me. He didn't give me their revelation. And, you know, I don't walk in their revelation. I can't. It's not my revelation. And we have to find, people have to find out, where are we, what are we doing? What do we belong in? Into? And you find out, it's like me, I have never gotten into this thing about, well, Jesus coming back at a certain time. No, God's showing me. I'll know when things go on, you know, I'm going to know. And so we don't have to, we're spending time pushing into what really is a waste of time. That God's not talking. You're not going to force God to talk to you about what he don't want to talk to you. I liked Brother Hagin talk about it. One of his relatives died, and he sort of wanted to know what happened and why he couldn't help him in this thing. And the Lord reminded him, the scripture, it says the secret things belong to the Lord. And the Lord told him it wasn't any of his business. If he wanted him to know it, he told him. Brother Hagin said, that wasn't hard to understand. He said, I got that right away. In other words, God wasn't talking out here. You can want to pray all you want. And you pray long enough. You think it'll force God into it? I'll tell you this. Go into a fast and a prayer, praying about something God won't talk to you about. And I'll guarantee you the devil will and you'll follow. Because you're pushing. You're pushing. Don't you go there and do that. God's not talking into a certain area about something. I always just tell him, my Lord, I'm just going to be available. If you want to tell me anything, you let me know and I'll... And just go on your regular praying and seeking about whatever's right or no. But don't get push into an area. I'm telling you this by experience. I got in a lot of trouble in that area. God luckily saved me from me.
Amen.
So sometimes he has to do that. He ain't going to save you from the devil. He's going to save you from you. Hallelujah. If you ain't ever been there, praise God. Glory. But anyhow, but I saw the vision and that stuff, but the people were waiting. There's one thing that quickened to me is that stuff, and I saw that, and I thought, you know, people, what he was doing was keying into me. He was trying to give me to be able to look in a declaration. Sometimes God is revealing things to us to get us to look in a different direction than what we have been. You see, it's one of the things he began to show me, because at that time when I came into the church, these things were going on. Everybody's running through this whole thing. When Jesus comes back, people are just going to file a pile of clothing on the floor. We're just going to all disappear. Bible doesn't teach it, hasn't taught it, but it is the popular belief. It isn't going to happen. Because when we look at types and shadows of people leaving, everywhere in Scripture, they knew when the person left. And that's what God began to show me. So really, that vision was a really helpful thing to me, because I never got caught again in listening to these people and this stuff and prediction and that stuff. I thought, you know, we are going to have to wait for a preacher to tell us. God's people are going to know. And it was really good, because then Randall Greer, I heard him talk about what the Lord told him about it. And again, he said, God's people are going to know when he's going to leave. God showed him in a vision and showed him concerning his coming. And people knew. The church knew it was time to go. It's time to leave. And then the Lord told me later on. Now, he just spoke to me about this. It wasn't any kind of vision. This just came by revelation. It spoke to me and said, in the end times, he said, when the church is getting ready to leave, he said, the message that's going to be preached, because there's no message to the future anymore. There's no more. When Jesus is coming, you either get in now or adios amigos. I mean, this is what I mean. He said the main message is going to be that the church is going to be telling people, we're leaving, Jesus is coming back. That's what he told me. See, here's one thing. Most Christians don't believe Jesus is coming back right now, because Scripture tells us those who have this hope purify themselves. You don't have all these dirty Christians out here who say Jesus is coming back and living dirty lives. I know that's a bunch of bunk. That's just talk. There's no spirituality to it. Because there's one thing. If you thought Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what would you do? Not what people are doing today in the church. Number one. Anyway, just think about it from a natural standpoint. Why would you be worrying about your retirement savings if you thought Jesus Christ was coming? Number one, what you believe, really believe in your heart, and you don't doubt, you're going to act on. I know people don't believe. It's number one, I can tell you this. Right now, some people, Jesus, come back tomorrow. No, I'm sorry, you're going to get up in the morning, I'll guarantee it. Jesus ain't coming back overnight tonight. Now, there's some people may die overnight tonight, but Jesus ain't coming back. See, you know, people, how can you be so profound? Because I know it concerns me. He'll talk to me about it. Say, well, when's he coming back? It ain't important when he's coming back. I need to just keep listening. Number one, just like I can know, people want to know when he can, I know, I want to know when he's not. You don't get into all that lying and stuff people do about it. Well, he could come back tomorrow and that stuff, and then they go out and say, you know what, I'll tell you, I need to get some more money in my 401k. And Jesus is coming back. Now think about it. There's nothing wrong with saving money and that stuff. But think about what you would do on what you really say you believe. Think about it. This is one of the hard things that people have. They never really build a strong faith, because it's just talk. But they never think about, am I saying, do I really believe? Is this something that's really true to me? Is it so? What effect? See, when you really believe things, it has a powerful effect in your life. That's powerful effect. That's why I got up off the ground with a heart attack and said, I'm going to go for a run. Because of what I believe. I didn't, you know, go to, I'll tell you what, I believe I'm healed. Let's get the ambulance as quick as we can. Well, hey, whatever you believe, really believe, you can say any darn thing you want. What you really believe is what you're going to be doing when it happens. This is not knocking anybody. I want us to awaken, because prophecy and things have really gotten out of hand and things have really gotten messed up. People have not sought God. And that's what we need to do, is stop and say, God, what's real? What are you really doing? I want to know what you're doing. What I'm supposed to do? What are we? What's the direction we're heading? What's our place? What's my place? What am I supposed to do? You know, who cares what's up? Some minister tell me, you know, dump all your money here in what I'm doing. Well, what are you supposed to be doing? You know, you could be dumping your money into something that's nice and good, but it ain't even the direction God wants you to go. Has nothing to do with it. But see, we need to get over this. See, this is why finding out about things in the Spirit, that we're not misled by things. Now, going on to what God did, one of the things, that a major thing that happened to me was, and again, I wasn't thinking about this at all, or not doing anything at all about this. I've preached about this a number of times, but the Lord wanted me to go over some things again, because we're seeing fulfillments of things, and why they've... areas of prophecy and others that we looked at here, and just different things about the end times. And one of the things I am most assured of what it's going to be like where I live, where I'm at in the United States, what God's going to be doing here. Number one, I do not believe God shows me what He's going to be doing here, and He's going to be doing the same thing everywhere. I don't believe that. That would be sort of, if you had to do it, they just put it out everywhere. Because it was a Saturday night, April 15th, 1991, at about 10:30 p.m. I'm doing some studying, and I was thinking, not even thinking in this area at all. Lots of times in encounters I've had with the Lord, I have not been, like, say, seeking or anything, an encounter. In fact, most of the time, you know, like lots of people, like they talk about, you know, they get into, you know, we've been fasting and praying for, you know, 2 weeks, and then they have something happen. I've never had that happen that way. I've always mostly had things happening, just doing what I'm generally doing. In fact, I've had some experiences where I thought, gee, I was being pretty carnal at the time. I mean, just natural, just doing natural things. And all of a sudden, I had a vision. All of a sudden, I saw something. So all of a sudden, God spoke to me about a certain thing. And I'm thinking, you know, I had numbers of times where the Lord spoke to me so clearly. And I was out running at the time. And God spoke to me so clearly. It was just like somebody was there. I was running with me down the road and just talked to me so clearly about something. It's like, gee, a real spiritual time. I mean, I was really into the prayer and it's fasting. So, I mean, sometimes I think people are very religious and they want to portray themselves as something they're not. They want to portray that you're going to have to do these certain things that they're going to have to, because I did these and God spoke, then now you got to do them for God to speak to you. And so you need to be careful about that kind of stuff, because God spoke to me many times and very clearly on things at the time I wasn't doing anything. I was just doing every day what you're supposed to do, things in life, and you're doing, and God talks to you. It's one of the things I did learn, is I've learned over time to listen on the inside of things rather than just always listening to the outside. Even doing natural things. Learn and listen on the inside, you'll learn how to do a lot of natural things a lot better than you've been doing them. God will show you things in your life, how to do things and do stuff that'll, you know, enhance your life. And so that's why you want to listen. Hey, the walk of faith, we're supposed to walk by faith. It isn't like, you know, you have these intermittent patches of faith in your life. That's right. It's walk by it. And why? Faith's on the inside. So God will show you things on the inside. He'll show you how to do stuff. But when this came along to me, the Lord spoke to me. I'm sitting, minding my own business. And just clearly, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, turn to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. I'm going to show you what's going to happen in your valley before I come back. I mean, I was just as surprised when he said that. It's like, whoa, what? So, I mean, but it was so clear. I mean, it was just so clear to me. So, I went over there to the 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And I don't know, tonight we're not going to go, we are going to go through some of this, but not a whole, not a lot of it. I want you to set up for the beginning of it, though, is going into this, is what happened. There's the Israel, the nation Israel, has divided into two different nations now. It's to the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom is Judah and Benjamin. And the rest of the 10 tribes are together called the Northern Kingdom. They broke away from Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son. Solomon got into sin. God told him and said, you know, I'm not going to have judgment fall on you. He says, because of your father David. But he said, when you turn around and die, he said, trouble is a-coming. And it was, as soon as he died, Solomon died. Solomon set up for the destruction of his son. Solomon set that up. Guy with all this wisdom set his son up for a fall, and his son fell. And because he didn't live right. God blessed him, gave him all kinds of stuff, and he built temples to other gods for all his wives and that stuff. He was worshiping women. You know, he liked the women, and they liked the other gods. And so, hey, to get what you want, keep the ladies happy, we're going to build them temples. And so he did all that stuff and got into all kinds of things, and, you know... You know, when you look at some things he wrote, vanity, everything's vanity. He gets the point. See, he got out there and he get away from God. See, he's a really smart guy. He didn't leave smart. Everything's vanity. But anyhow, so he ended up dividing the nation. And this is about King Ahab. What they did is when the 10 tribes broke away, in Jerusalem is the temple of God. Those people don't come to the temple anymore. But that's what God called the place you come and worship. Now, it wasn't because Judah didn't let them. Their leaders didn't want them because they afraid if they went back over there to worship, they would join up with them and they would lose people. That's politics today. You do anything that anybody wants to keep them, so they vote you in office. And I don't care who the party be. It's a working. Anyhow, that's what they were afraid of. But what happened? We have this guy, Ahab. And Ahab, the Bible says concerning him that he did more evil than any of the kings before him concerning the ones in the 10 tribes there. Ahab, he had built altars and stuff to Baal. They worshiped Baal and all these things. And what happened was is in the 17th chapter, if you go ahead and read there, what took place is... Elisha came to him and told Ahab that he said, that it wasn't going to rain or even dew on the land. Now, for 3.5 years, there's not going to be any dew or rain in the land. You think about that, not even dew. And so this thing is about a drought that comes to the land. It's what happens. There's a drought that comes. Ahab is mad at the prophet. He wants to kill this Elijah. He's dumb enough to think that Elijah is the problem. Elijah ain't God. It ain't raining because if he kills Elijah, you know, it'll change his fortunes, you know. I mean, a lot of people do that. If I change churches, it'll work better. The problem is they always show up at the next church. And it never changes. That it always just never goes well like that. If you need fixed, get fixed. But anyhow, so he's in this condition. So what we have here, and you need to understand this, which I believe we're in now. See, I think God gave me warnings about things were going to happen. Do you ever wonder why we're not having a move of God right now? The people want one, but how long we've gone, how mess it's been for so long? And see, people go through a lot of things and say a lot of stuff. It's the same thing that they happened at that time. At that time, what happened? There was 100 prophets. This one guy, Obadiah, who worked for Ahab, had hid 100 prophets. These were prophets of God. He hid because Jezebel had were killing all the prophets of God off. She was trying to kill them all off. And they were worshiping Baal. And so they were hidden. And God takes the head prophet, Elijah, and hides him. In other words, God is not speaking to the nation. God is not speaking to anybody. And see, I didn't realize this till some time afterwards where I went through this thing with God, because you need to understand this. In 1991, there's a move of God going on. I'd come out, you know, after Rhema and that stuff, we started a church. There's still a powerful move of God, things going on, all kind of stuff happening. And what happens, we hit into I started to see the mid-90s, I started to see people getting out in left field and all kind of this junk with people going along and casting out demons, weird stuff, people doing all kind of weird things, all this stuff, intercession that is just weird, it has nothing to do with praying, it's just crazy, mixed up stuff. All kind of things started happening, started seeing things turning. Well, see, when the Lord tells you these things, because what do we have here? We have God's voice is hidden from the people. It's hidden from them. And I want you to know that's what's been going on. I don't care how preachers go out and preach to people and want to do things. If God's not in it, they can go do everything he wants.
That's right.
We need to understand this. See, God, for 3.5 years, hid the prophets. They were the preachers. The prophets were the preachers of the time. Not the priests. The prophets. The prophets were the voice of God into the earth. They don't have a voice of God in it. Today we have in the church world, we have preachers and teachers, people. There's good Christians today, but you know what? We're in a time of drought. And the Lord spoke to me then later on about this, as we'll go on as we look at it first. But over time, really, I began to get understanding about, even though he told me things that night, I really got to understand things of how this is going to fit in time. And there's revelations that you don't get. So you're sitting in the middle of a move of God. It's like, that's sort of this thing here with them and the rain coming out. That didn't mean too much. And I started seeing things dry up. And I went over and started reading this thing and I thought, we're having a drought. We're in a drought. And I started to see this. It's because when God got me into this, he brought me to the 18th chapter. He took me through the whole chapter on the thing. That's what's going to happen. In other words, one of the things that I began to see, that there's voices going to rise up in this last move of God. God's going to bring people out with a voice to speak in these last times. God's going to be, number one, it has to be the move of God. It can't be the move of man. It can't be something generated by people. Gifts and manifestations of the Spirit don't happen because of people. It's not somebody gets so wonderful and spiritual that God moves. No, it's somebody seeks God to find out what God's doing and moves when God says so. We do the exact opposite. We're in America. We're Americans. We want to make it happen. That's not how it works. We seek God, find out his will and purpose, and do it. The will and purpose of God in this thing, we can look at, what did God do? Hit out. God pulled out. That was the purpose. You know, what if Elijah said, no, I want to go tell them, I don't want this bad stuff, I don't want this to go on. See, we have in America, everybody's trying to save everybody from the drought. Let them get so thirsty they're about to die. It might turn their life around. No, we're trying to keep everybody going and everything wonderful. We know very little about this stuff. No, God has started a drought. It did not start a drought. God did. And it's a purpose in this spiritual drought that we're having. There's a purpose. God wants to bring an awakening. And he's not going to bring an awakening just because people are uncomfortable. People are not uncomfortable enough yet, it seems.
Amen.
We need to... See, this is why. Don't read it like men read things. You know, we hate to see things happen, so let's fix it and do it right away. God don't work like that. God knows things that will make people turn. You know, many people destroy what God wants to do because they do something. And this is one of the things that I found out. See, I could have read as much as I wanted to into what God was telling me that time, but I would have missed a lot if I would have just read into it. You know, I saw certain things. I thought, that's good. I could see the future, what God wanted to do. But there were so many details I couldn't see at the time. And you can't see at that time. You have to get into the right time to be able to see certain things. Understand that for yourself. There's many things that God can tell you. You will never see it clearer till you're in the time of it and you start to see it with its clarity. You know, it's sort of like, you know, go out here and you're walking along. You go out here and hike, and you can go out here and hike and hike and hike for miles and go. There's some views. I don't care what you never saw before. Till you get there, you ain't gonna see it. You know, I remember when all the pictures that all the years I saw the Grand Canyon. You know, you see these pictures, it's all beautiful stuff, really deep and stuff. I'll never forget the day I walked up on the rim of the Grand Canyon and looked over, and I said, the first thing I said, ain't nobody got a picture like his. I said, never saw one like it. Nobody's picture ever looked this good. Never looked this good. See, but you know what? When I was down in Tucson, I couldn't see that. I couldn't see it in Tucson. I just kept having to look at the pictures people took. But you don't get the view till you go there. You want to find out where God's going and get on the bus and go there. Because there's things. And see, this is one thing, is time, as I learned over time. When I began to follow prophecy, I realized why God, when I first got saved, took me back over to the book of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah is based on a time with people. God's trying to get people to turn and trying to get people to turn. He's working out it, and they're anointing him. They have a vision, and it's theirs. And it only leads to destruction. God is doing everything he can to try to save a people. But they're on a destructive path. And they have an idea of how they can fix it. And what they, and they have a vision. They're quoting scriptures and they're going under. Yeah. Well, you know, God did want to deliver Israel. But because of things that they've done, he could not deliver them like they wanted. It wasn't going to happen. This is why we need to be able to sit and listen and hear. Even though the prophets are speaking and are saying things that are clear and true, we got to listen. We do. And we're going to go up and pick up on this thing. And I want to go through this thing because these are things that God has shown me concerning our area, what's going to happen here. And we need to get a clarity on some of these things about where we're at and what we're doing here. If God shows you something, something else, you know, like people are, they have all kind of visions of all kind of things all over the place. Fine. I don't know if that's so or not. I don't know. You know, God, if he doesn't tell me about it, I don't know if it's so. They might be exactly right about it. But I've not been told to look into those things because they don't pertain to me. Americans want to know too much about too many things that ain't got a thing to do with them. And anything important they don't know nothing about because they spend their time nosing in everybody's business that ain't theirs. This is good preaching. No, it is. And we spend this time and we need to, you know, look, Europe's doing this and that. And look at our nation, the mess we're in. We're trying to fix the world. You know, God's anointed me where I'm at. He didn't anoint me over there. Now, God has sent me places, but I learned this. You don't go unless he puts his hand on you to send you. Oh, you can go and do your thing, all that kind of stuff, but let him send you. Let him put it in you if you're supposed to go there or not go there, or what you're supposed to do. You don't have to listen to a bunch of ministers out here telling you that, you know, you have to, you know, this for their ministry and this and that. You know, all these kids are going to starve if you don't give your money over here. I'm sorry. Last time, Ed wasn't the savior of the world. I found that out. You know, I just sort of got that one pretty quick. And when somebody does that to me, you know what I knew he is? He's a louse. He's the worst of the worst. He's trying to make you feel guilty for everything bad going on out here. And he's one of the reasons bad things are going on out here. Because he's a crook and a cheat, trying to manipulate money out of your pocket. And he's probably taking 40% of it out of there for his pocket, sending the rest over there. We're moved by all kinds of things, but other than God. And we need to, when things clear up, I think life can be pretty darn easy when I don't have to, you know, I don't have to fix America. It ain't called to it. God's told me about the areas where I live here, what he wants to do here. This is where we live, folks. You know, it's just like, I get emails from some guy running for office in California asking me for money. And I thought, and you know, here's what I say. If they won't pay for your due to run, they deserve every bad thing they get. I'm not paying you to win an election out there for them. They don't want. Let them live with it. This is what people, we're trying, everything gets so spread out all over the place. We have no focus on anything. They say we're an information society and we're the dumbest people in the world. We don't, all this information, what's it amounted to? What's it done for us? You know, I've watched people do this. Smart scientists, they run up to the point where they understand when you have too much information, you got to throw stuff out. You can't, after a while, you're so cluttered with so much, you can't see anything. That's America. We're so cluttered, we can't see a darn thing. We don't see nothing in front of us. We can't see until they just put this thing out. The World Bank put out about America. They projected the United States will have by 2033, we'll have a 45 point something trillion deficit, 45 something. Well, I'll guarantee it'll be higher than that. I will guarantee you, if America lasts that long, it will be higher. My words, we're on the road to that thing. We'll run that thing over in the next few years. And it will require, they said at that time, 114% of the gross national product. In other words, there won't be enough money in America to make payments. And we're running down that road. We're running down that. And the reason we're running down that road, our nose is in everything but what belongs to us. But don't feel bad about it. The government. The government are people just like everybody else who have their nose in everybody else's business and don't know what in their own to do. There's a lot of things it would be well to draw back, not to go in, to draw back and stop. See, what's God saying? Where are we at? This is one thing God has really put in me. What I've told you here, this is your thing. This is your field. This is the place where you're at. This is where we're at. This is what it is. I don't have an anointing for some place in Ohio. I don't have an anointing for California. You can tell that. They dropped off in the ocean. I say, I hate to see them go, but... I don't want them to drop off into the ocean. Well, some maybe. But see, we've gotten into all these things, and where we're at here and about us is saving. People talk about, you know, saving a nation, and sort of like God told me to tell an individual one time about healing. They had a major problem and they wanted healing, but really they were just going after it. They were just trying to take a hold of everything, and they're just after everything. And the Lord said to me, and I thought it was the strangest thing, he said, why don't you ask them, how do you eat an elephant? And when he said that to me, I was like, well, I don't know. Why would you ask me to ask him? I wouldn't have the answer. I thought, what a dumb thing to say to a person. I thought, how do you eat an elephant? I don't know. Never cooked anything that big on the grill. How do you eat an elephant? Well, not at one setting. But anyhow, I just wondered. But you know, and I knew it. And as soon as it just kept coming up to me to say this to him. And I finally just turned around and said, how do you eat an elephant? And it just came to me. I said, one bite at a time. You couldn't eat it any other way. And see, really, that's what we're doing. God wants us to do. As a people, we're trying to save a nation. We're not. You can't. Wait, one bite. We want. It ain't happening. It will not happen. It's never going to happen that way. It starts with people in their areas doing their what they're supposed to. Let's do what God wants in our area. That's our part. Our part isn't everything and everybody. It's not. It's here where we're at. I want God to be able to fulfill what he has called in our place.
That's right.
I don't have a vision for another guy's place, for somebody else's. They have to have a vision for their place. And you know what? When every part does their part, the thing gets fixed. America can't get fixed on what they're trying to do. We're trying to do it through Washington. That's the last place that's going to fix it. They've already put, how many years are we going to figure out it takes? Shouldn't we know by now they can't fix it and they won't? Shouldn't we understand that? Let's do it here in our, what does God want to do to save the place we're at? Where we live. What about our families and the people around in our communities here and that stuff that we're called to? And we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about that, because we go into this thing is that God has a plan for where we live.
Amen.
That's the one He told me. I don't know what He told everybody else. I can listen to ministers and they tell all these different things, that kind of stuff. And then what God spoke to me. Mine's here. This is where I'm at. I'm not here because Ed wanted to be here. I'm in no place of ministry of anything that I've ever asked God to do or I ever wanted to do. I never wanted to pastor. I never wanted to do any of it. And I found out, I was glad to find out. I thought something was wrong with Ed. And then Kenneth Hagin made this statement. I heard him say it later on in his years. He made this statement. I have never done anything in ministry that I ever had any kind of inclination I ever wanted to do. God always had me do things that I was never really I wanted to do. But this is here is one thing. This is the place as though I'm here at the will of God. This is the place where God supplies my needs. This is the place. He didn't send me someplace else to do that. It's here. And so we need to get ourselves focused. That's what I want to do. Let's get us focused here. Let's find out God here and find our place here. We want to move of God here. And He told me there will be one. And I want to cooperate with that. I want that move of God to come here. That when we go to heaven, He'd say, hey, you guys doing what I, you know? This was your part and your place, you know? Why would He have you living here if He wanted you dumping all your money in California? Really? Now think about it. Would He? Does that make sense? That doesn't mean, there's ministries out here doing things and I want to help them. I want to bless them. I want to do things. I would help people do their part. But I'm not doing everything they're doing. I'm not hooking up on everything in their ministry. It's not what I'm doing. I'm not called to it. My anointing is here. Good way to lose an anointing is go where God didn't send you. Hallelujah. So, but I just want to encourage you in these things about hearing that stuff. Don't think there's anything strange about you. Don't think there's anything weird about you. God will speak to you. God will talk to you and reveal things to you. And you'll pray about the things that you're hearing. Is this so, Lord? If this thing don't speak to you, you're not weird. There's nothing strange about you. You know, I don't care how good of a minister. Kenneth Hagin prophesied things and it turned out, it didn't turn out the way he said. Well, like he said, any person can miss it. There's things you can miss it. Sometimes you pick certain things up and you, it's number one, we're not following a man. It ain't. And this is one of the things we got to get settled. We have that today. You would have no need to have the Holy Ghost in you if there wasn't a need for you to listen to God. There wouldn't be any need for it. Because God can speak to you and He'll show you what He's talking about. He wants you to have a vision for where you live. He wants you to see. You know, the things that I'm saying to you, if it don't minister to you, it's what God spoke to me. This is what Ed's going to be doing. God gives you something else, you're going to have to do what God tells you to do. But this is where I'm at. I don't know of anything else. Every time I get over with God about it, He drags me back to this. It's like, okay, I give up. You don't have to twist my arm anymore. This is where it's at. It's find your places. I've got to this. Is everybody's looking for their land of milk and honey. It's where God puts you. I don't care. You might think naturally. You know, naturally, I would not look at me being here living in this area was going to be my milk and honey. But when God told me to come here, this is my place of milk and honey because this is the place where I'm in the will of God. And never talk bad about where God has you. Never complain about, there's all these people. Well, I wish, you know, and I live here or there. If God has you here in a place, I don't care what it is, you learn to be satisfied there if He keeps you there forever. That, when you criticize it, you're cutting yourself off from God's blessing. Because you're criticizing where God puts you. God will bless you richly in a place that doesn't look so great. One of the things I found out that many ministers have come and gone over the years through this area. And see, one of the things it is, they come here and they don't like the area and they start to complain about it and they lose their anointing and they end up leaving. They complain about it. I will not complain about it. This is my land of milk and honey. This is where God, if God doesn't supply for me here, I don't have to serve Him. He's the master. If He don't take care of His servant, He's not a very good God. But He always is.
Amen.
Wherever you're at,
yep.
He'll take care of you. Stop and say that. Well, on job or something, you may not like certain things and certain things. Be very careful what you do and say, if God wants you to move on to something, but learn. This is my place of milk and honey. This is where I'm at. God's going to take care of me here. It isn't some employer's job to meet all of my needs according to His riches and glory. It's not people's job. God, that's God's reason. I always tell God, I don't go over to God about somebody. I go, God, hey, if things ain't working out, what you doing? You're the God put me here. You're going to take care of me here. I don't say, well, this person ain't doing this or that. I was talking to Him. He sent me here. I didn't. He can't take care of it. And you know what? He's glad to have me look in the direction of Him rather than look in the direction of others. And so do that. You know what I found out it does? Keeps you happy. You don't walk around hating people all the time. You aren't always mad at somebody. Hallelujah. Let's close a prayer. Father, thank You tonight. Lord, we sure do need wisdom and understanding in these areas. Lord God, You're brilliant. And many times You're showing us things that are easy to see, but sometimes we complicate them. Lord God, we've overthought many things. Lord God, sometimes we have surely complicated the simple. But Lord God, You haven't quit on us. You're still working with us. And I just want to thank You, because You're so merciful and great and kind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You love us. And Lord, we just keep coming back. You said if we seek, we'd find. If we knock, it'd be opened unto us. And I just want to thank You. It is. And Father God, if anything, we want to walk in and live in this time and place. We want to live in the place of peace and contentment.
Amen.
Lord, sometimes I realize, Lord, we're in positions and places that really works on our flesh. But Lord God, we got to live all the inside, not the outside. Lord, we want to live in that place where we're content, that this is the place that Your hand is on us. That we're here, Lord God, in a situation, whatever we're in right now, You're greater than anything we're facing. You're greater than anything that's going on. Hallelujah. And Lord God, You have a plan of deliverance. And that plan wasn't set in motion when we got into trouble. We thought, that Lord, You knew that in eons of time where we would be at this time. You've always had a plan. You've always had something. And Lord God, we might be sitting right on the answer today. Lord God, it may be foggy. We can't see it. But Lord God, we're looking to You for clarity in the name of Jesus, that we can see through this fog and through this cloud. Hallelujah. To take our place and to stand where You have us, that You brought us to, Lord God. Father, if anything, my great desire is Your plan and purpose would take place in the earth. Lord, as Jesus prayed in the garden and said, it's not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, Yours is always the best. Yours always brings the greatest blessing. Yours always helps the most. And Lord God, we want Your plan working. And we thank You. You'll reveal it to us. Hallelujah. And You will anoint us to walk in it. And I thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.